Hey, want to know a very quick way to go from 0 to 10 million in ARR in just over 3 years? You're going to love this. I spoke with Guillaume Houbesch from Lemlist. He's the CEO, and you know Lemlist. I'm sure you've heard of it. They have done an incredible job of scaling. This is their story on how they were able to grow a community and scale like crazy. Enjoy.
Welcome to Sastery in the Making, the podcast that features the people who made the software world what it is today and the leaders who are shaping the future of technology. Here's your host, Matt Wallach.
Yes, I am Matt, and this is Sastery in the Making. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. If you're on the podcast, thank you for watching. If you are on YouTube, we are excited for today. It's going to be a really good one. We're going to talk about how you can kind of generate a whole bunch of interest, how you can create a community, and how you can scale really, really quickly. I am delighted to be joined by my special guest today, Guillaume Houbesch. Guillaume, how you doing?
I'm great, Matt. Super happy to be here.
I am really happy to have you here. Let me make sure I tell the world about you, Guillaume. He is the founder and CEO at Lemlist. And really what he's doing, he's on a mission to help a million entrepreneurs build a profitable business by 2025. I love that. I'm a big believer in helping. As you know, that's what I do as well. I help startups, help them scale and help them grow so that they can become very successful themselves. So we are in very, very much alignment there. And really, if you don't know Lemlist, it is a very slick tool. It's your sales automation and cold email software all in one. I highly recommend checking it out. Guillaume also is formerly the co-founder and head of growth at leadguru.io, where he helped B2B companies scale using outbound sales prospecting. And he generated $1 million+ in revenue for clients worldwide. He absolutely knows what he's doing when it comes to generating interest and getting business in the door. So once again, Guillaume, thank you so much for coming on the show.
That's the best intro ever.
Well, I will take that. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I want to know what's going on with you lately at Lemlist and what's coming up.
Well, it's actually a big milestone for us, as we just crossed like 10 million in ARR, which is great because it kind of like shows where we're heading. And we're super excited with what's coming next. Along the years, we really focused on helping our community grow, get like really good results, try to build like and help them build their business. And I feel like the more we grow and the more we reach all this milestone, the more it shows that we're getting closer to our goal, which is really exciting.
That is so fantastic. Congrats on that. That's definitely a big milestone. I know one you've been looking for a long time. I want to know, how did you come up with the idea for Lemlist?
So it all started actually back with the agency that I had. So I was helping companies do their sales prospecting in order to book meeting for them. So I had like this lead generation agency. And after using all the tools on the market, the value proposition that was coming up very often is put your sales on autopilot. It makes people dream. It's amazing. But the truth, it's totally wrong. In a sense that whenever you do sales, you know that it's all about building relationships, all about like personalizing your messaging in order for people to know that you actually care. And I thought, okay, there is this huge opportunity around personalization. Let's start, even if it's a super crowded market, let's start with this angle about personalization. And then we will see whether or not like people are picking it up, because in the end, it asks more effort from people because they need to personalize even more. But in the end, they get much better results. So can we link the effort to the results? And that was like the big hypothesis we had at first. And in the end, after a few months, we realized that people were getting much better results by personalizing, that our entire platform helped them to achieve that personalization. And step by step, we kind of like made a name in a very crowded industry.
Yeah, you certainly have made your name. It's definitely one of the ones that people point to right away when they're thinking about all this. Can you just explain a little bit about what exactly it does and how it helps businesses?
Yeah, absolutely. So Lemlist basically like is a platform that will help you to reach out to potential prospects, whether it's on email or on LinkedIn, and to automate also the follow-ups, meaning that when you reach out to someone and they're not answering, let's say 3 to 4 days later, you would normally follow up, but the platform will allow you to do this automatically. So the idea is to really help people build relationship with their prospect, get more meeting. So down the line, they can actually get more sales.
Super, super cool. And speaking of building relationships, you've built and created a community on Facebook of over 17,000 members. How did you do that? And really, why is that so important?
So a lot of sweat, a lot of tears. Not to be entirely transparent, it started not as something that I wanted to do for marketing or acquisition purposes. It was just that back in the days, so we started the company with $1,000 and I was the only one handling like the support and the business side of things. And my co-founders were on the tech side. So after receiving like a lot of people on the support and I was receiving sometimes the same questions, I thought, why not put everyone into the same Facebook group and see whether or not like I can answer questions and more people would see it. That way it would be less work for me. And after doing all these things, I realized that people were giving me ideas, feature requests, and I was really creating these relationships. I would start to write the content to answer really their pain and needs. I would share it in the community so they start to see that I actually care. And step by step, with a lot of word of mouth, people went, were asking their friends to join the community. I was writing even more content to help people like succeed and get really good results as sales prospecting. I was also documenting everything that we were doing. So back in the days, for example, you would never find anywhere people who actually share their entire sales prospecting campaign. For people, it was kind of their secret sauce. Every Yep. sales rep would be, no, it's mine. I don't want to share it, et cetera, et cetera. And after a bit, I would do this. So I would run each week one campaign. I would explain, why it works. And I will showcase the results to our community, so people can actually reproduce it. So I did this for about 6 months. And after that, like people started to share their own results, share their campaign, share their tips, answering each other's messages, really helping each other. And step by step, we really grew that community that became kind of like a competitive advantage, I would say, for our growth.
Oh, absolutely. I love that. It's so cool that you were sharing what's working. You were opening yourself up, and you're right. People just didn't used to do that. That's extremely innovative back in the day. Now, I talk about this also with my clients who are saying, hey, I want to build authority. I would like to make sure that people see me as an authority figure and they look to me as a thought leader. How do I do that? And the number one thing I say is you need to share value. Get out, share value, share what's going to help your target get them ahead. And that's what you've done. You've been sharing value, helping people get better and better, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's, it's always, difficult for people to always perceive what value is all about, because it's sometimes difficult because they can say like, yeah, I built a great tool. If you use it correctly, it's going to drive value to you. But for me, I think what you mentioned is totally right, is how can you share and write content that is actionable enough for people to get these best results and become better? So really, that was a strategy I had in the community, but also on LinkedIn. So on LinkedIn, where I will post really actionable tips on how to write good cold emails, how to make to increase your reply rate, how to get a better deliverability, meaning whether or not your emails are ended up in the inbox rather than in spam, et cetera, et cetera. And by doing all these things, you kind of build your and position yourself as a thought leader, which means that people will have a much stronger trust in whatever you're saying over time. And once you have trust, it's 10 times easier to actually close a deal. Because in the end, if I tell you, okay, you're going to make more money using our tool, the only reason why you wouldn't do it is because you don't trust me. But if you trust me, then you're going to be like, yeah, of course. Okay, let's do this,
I totally agree. It's so much easier if you're going to say, hey, okay, the next step is for you to use this tool or you to do this. If people have already gotten all the value from you and you've delivered and they've used that value to get ahead and they've been able to get better, then of course they're going to trust you and listen to you and see you as a guide. This is something we work on a lot with our clients. We talk to them about, hey, make sure that you are giving the value. Make sure that you're showing them that you know what you're talking about and that they can get better from it. And they're going to see you as their consultant, as the person who's going to be their advisor. And when you say, okay, I recommend you do this, you're good to go. It sounds like you guys have been doing that perfectly.
Yeah, exactly. And what we've tried to do also is do it across the team as something where we can split per target audience. So because a lot of people think that it can't scale, etc. And I will kind of like explain how we evolved over time. So at first, I was doing it and positioning myself as a thought leader in the sales industry. So I was the only one writing a lot of content, etc. And I would get invited, you know, on like top podcasts, conferences, just to talk about sales because of that. But as we grew the company, I felt like as I was becoming like a CEO of a much bigger company, I had to talk to my target audience being also founders because they would relate much more on the message that I would share. And my head of growth would be basically positioning himself as a thought leader in marketing and in growth. And my head of sales would do the same, but in sales. And as we grew, everyone in the company, whether they are head of or just like a normal employee, would position themselves also as a thought leader, but for their own position. And the idea is by doing that, if you focus on your target audience, you're going to start seeing more and more people really like connecting with people from your company. And each personal brand will reflect in a very positive way to your company, because in the end, you want to use product and services from people you like, from people you trust, and from people you can find cool or just kind in general. And this has been like really huge effect for us.
I love hearing that. You're right. People you connect with and you see that they get you, they understand you, and they resonate. That's fantastic. And this is something that took me a long time to learn. I think that in my early days building SaaS companies, I said, okay, who is going to be the face of our company? We would pick one person amongst our founding team to be the face. But I've later realized, I'm glad you guys have been doing this, that each person should be out there building their own personal brand. I love that you guys have really kind of identified segments that each person can hit. And eventually, people are going to be seeing multiples of these people. And you say, wow, this person's helping here, they're helping here, they're all part of the same group. These are awesome people. I want to be associated with them. And that's something that we mistook early that now I'm seeing is absolutely a great way to do it. So kudos to you on that, Guillaume.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And also it's something that you can really have a lot of fun with, because if you have, for example, like your sales team posting about something and the marketing about something else, they can kind of like pick up on each other's like post and start like making fun of each other or teasing each other. And then it creates this lovely vibes of friends, you know, like just teasing a bit and making fun. And this is really cool. And on top of it, something that we've implemented that worked really well is what we call LinkedIn buddies, which is like in the company, everyone is in pair and they help each other writing their LinkedIn posts. So they always have like feedback. So it's usually like one person in marketing with one person in sales. And that's the best way, you know, to create good content, get instant feedback on what you're doing. And just help each other leveling up as we grow and as the company grow.
I love it. That's a great idea, LinkedIn buddies, because a lot of people are wanting to grow on LinkedIn and they're not quite sure if what they're putting out there is helpful. But I like the idea of helping each other. And speaking of growth, I mean, we talked about it earlier. You guys have grown Lemlist to more than 10 million ARR. That is so cool. And it's been how long? 2 years or so?
It's been 3.5 years. Yeah.
3.5 years. So 10 million AR in 3.5 years, and you're bootstrapped and you're profitable. Like that is the goal that most people are going for. So that is very incredible. Congrats on that. I want to know so that we can share with others is what systems or processes did you feel were most helpful that you were able to apply to help become a success?
I think that, one thing that's super important as a founder is to document everything you do, each step of the way. Because I'm going to give you like a very specific example that I like is everyone knows about Marco Polo, right? It's like he's known for being a famous explorer. But the truth is that at that time, a merchant. And right now, in today's world, everybody knows or think that Marco Polo discovered the Silk Road. The truth is that he was not the first one. Before him, there were thousands of other merchants for the same place where he was that actually were walking through the Silk Road. The only difference, he was the first to document it. And to me, that's like the eye-opening moment. It's like, if you document things, you'll be remembered. If you document things, it will allow you to put complex thoughts that you have in your mind into simple things, and you would gain a lot of clarity. So the truth is, like, the more I documented things, the more I realized that, oh, you know what, for sales, we should have a better process. Or, you know what, here in marketing, what we did was really great, and here it was really like the worst thing we could ever done. But the truth is, like, by reflecting on the past, looking at our mistakes and our success, it gives a lot of clarity for the future. So my advice is really, like, try to document every time you have a milestone, because it's a great way first to celebrate the little wins. Because whenever you're growing, basically, like, I remember for me getting to 10 million in ARR when we started with $1,000, it was just impossible. The market was too crowded. Everyone was telling us that we will never make it, that we don't have a good enough differentiator, et cetera, et cetera. And I started to believe it. But the truth is, like, right now, which is something that we're extremely lucky to be at, I can't celebrate it because I'm too much looking forward. You know, I'm always excited about what's coming next. And even though I realize that this is amazing, it's only when I actually write down a full article and I detail everything that I realize, like, we did a lot of things, you know, like, it's really cool, and it gives you much more clarity for the future. So this would be like my number one tips is document everything. It will force you to actually put processes where you need to, and then have clarity for the future. And that's the number one priority for any founder.
I think that's fantastic. I love that Marco Polo analogy. So, so true that documenting is key. And those of us who follow, or those of them out there who followed me for a while, you know my four pillars to exponential software growth. You've got attract, engage, close. And the last one, scale. Scale, meaning bringing other people in to do what you've been doing, doesn't happen if you don't have your procedures and processes documented very, very cleanly and soundly so that others can pick up from where you left off. So I love it, love it, love it. That is a lot of growth, though. So how did you guys handle growth that quick, Guillaume, during those periods?
To be honest, it's I think what you said about processes is definitely right. So it's like, try to automate all the things that can be automated, because whenever you're writing down processes, you will realize that some stuff you're doing are very illogical and that shouldn't happen. So the truth is, like, if you look at a process, so I can give you an example for sales. In our sales team, for example, when someone signed up, what we would do is everything would go to our CRM. We'd enrich the email. So from one email, you can tell how big the company is, et cetera, et cetera. But the truth is, like, the sales team, what they were doing at first, just checking every people and seeing, okay, what their company size. So everyone was wasting maybe like 5 to 10 minutes for each lead, which was very time consuming and didn't make a lot of sense. So right now we have built, by looking at this, we realized, okay, this is stupid. We can do this automatically. You can enrich people's email and get the company name, how big is the company, how many people are in the sales department, et cetera, et cetera. And from there, know whether or not the person is a good fit for a sales demo, instead of having this manual qualification process. And to me, it's really about this, building these processes, looking at what could be automated, and trying to make sure that you're making the most of everyone's time. And this really, like, was key for the scaling. And on top of it, it was really trying to improve the product to make it as good as possible, to remove the load from the support. So it's always, you know, tracking this metric. For example, what you could do is, instead of tracking the number of tickets you get, what you can do is track the ratio between the number of users you have and the number of tickets you get. And this ratio should always go down as you grow, mm-hmm. because it means that your product is becoming better and better, and people can use it without having to go through the support.
Yeah, that's a good point. Definitely. Like, so the number of tickets per user, absolutely a good metric, should be going down. I love it. What mistakes did you guys make, and which lessons did you learn along the way that you're able to apply going forward?
I think that one of the biggest mistakes was when it comes to hiring. So, you know, like, it's always really tough when you are scaling to find the right people and differentiate people you get on well, really well, and the person that are going to help you really scale the company and go to the next level. So I feel like what we did really like bad as managers, etc., when we were hiring was not defining clearly a specific role with key objectives. You know, it's like you think that when you hire smart people that know kind of what they're doing, they can always adapt and do all these things. But the truth is sometimes they can't. And for you, your role as a CEO or as a manager is to basically make sure that you have a clear system in place to evaluate the person that are coming to the company and evaluate their impact. Because the truth is, if someone doesn't have an impact on the business, it's because they are not a good fit and they should like be in another position or maybe in another company. And for us, it was, we kind of failed because we had that hyper growth. And for us, you know, it's like everything is going super well because you're hyper growing and it's amazing. But the truth is you should be super strict about the person like you hire and be super, super sharp. Another issue that I think we faced, and it was kind of a mistake, it's like founders' relationships. We've been like with my co-founders, they're a bit older, so they're around like 45. And basically like we didn't communicate a lot. We were remote at first and it was just me handling the business side of thing and then handling the tech. But the truth is as we grew, we had kind of like a lot of, I would say that our point of view would differ on many topics. We wouldn't define the vision and the mission together. I would handle this. But as we grew, we realized that we're kind of like splitting apart and that there would be like a lot of conflict within the company and within the department just because of us. So the issue was not communicating and not noticing the problem before. So we could, and that's actually what we did to solve it, is go with a coach and do kind of what I call the throuple therapy, because it's the three of us. And just, you know, like discussing these things, discussing together about how we can make our communication better, et cetera, just to level up. And we've realized that after, let's say, 3 to 5 months of coaching, all the vision was aligned, all the team mission, et cetera. And then all the team members are just, you know, like everything is much smoother and it's 10 times better.
I love it. That is so amazing, because sometimes those partner relationships can cause a lot of strain. It causes a lot of impact on the business negatively. I'm so glad that you guys were able to find some help and all get aligned and in the right direction. What tips would you give to SaaS founders just starting out now?
I think for me, it's the two tips that I could give. The first one is really about know your audience, like know the person you are serving and stick to that. Because as you grow, a typical example, as we grew, we had a lot of opportunity to go up market. We had this shiny enterprise deals, et cetera, et cetera. But the truth is we're focused on SMBs and startups. But whenever you're growing, you feel like you should go with enterprise, you should go with where the money is. So the first thing is really like stay focused and know what you're doing, because your product will not fit an enterprise deal if you're focusing on SMBs and vice versa. So this is for me like the number one thing. And the second thing is really, really to know your differentiator. Because, you know, like most people are looking at their competitors and they're trying to copy, et cetera, but never forget that it's your company, your rules, and you are the one owning the brand of the company. So make something that you are confident about, make something that looks like you, because in the end, all the relationships you're going to build will be built also through your brand and through the people you hire, et cetera. And for that, it has to be defined clearly somewhere.
That is fantastic advice. I hope if you're a founder out there listening that you take that. That was absolute gold right there, Guillaume. And this has been phenomenal. I've really enjoyed this conversation, hearing about your story and all the great things you guys have done, the mistakes you've learned along the way. How can our audience learn more about you and Lemlist?
I think for Lemlist, people can go to lemlist.com. And for me, like they can add me on LinkedIn. I answer every message. So if you have any question, just ping me and I'll be right there.
Okay, perfect. And we'll make sure to put that in the show notes or down in the description if you're watching on YouTube. But this has been awesome, Guillaume. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your story.
Thanks a lot, Matt. It was a real pleasure.
Pleasure's mine. For everybody else out there, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Make sure you are subscribed to the show. That way you're not going to miss out on any more creators and innovators like Guillaume. You won't want to miss some of the great stuff that we have coming up. But thank you so much for watching. Thanks for being here. We will see you next time. Take care.